Well, hello everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who is joining us here at This Week with Dr. T. Each week we get together with amazing guests and have conversations that I think will inspire you. After the interview, it is posted in the next couple of days up at the Tenpenny Files podcast, hosted on podbean.com. You can find a direct link there by going to drtenpenny.com. So let me introduce to you today's guest, Christian Osh. Christian is the director of Lepidus Enterprises AG. He has been a project manager for business and development experts in various areas of integrated medicine for nearly 20 years. I met Christian when we were both working for the same company here in the U.S. He was the chief operating officer and I was a consultant. We got to be really good friends, and I think we've been friends for more than 10 years. I visited him a couple of times, him and his wife, Becky, in Switzerland. In fact, if you're on our email list, you saw a couple of pictures there from when Christian and I went up into the mountains, one of the times when I was in Switzerland visiting him and Becky in their unbelievably beautiful chateau that's been in the family for a long time. Christian has owned and operated several businesses in North America, and he currently lives, as I said, in this magnificent chateau up in the Alps. When you stay at his house, you leave the windows open at night, and you have this cool, fresh mountain air, and you hear the cowbells walking across the mountains all night long. It's just, and they're various tones. The bigger cows have bigger bells, and then the younger cows have smaller bells, and it's just like listening to little angels up in the mountains all night long. It's just great. Christian is presently focused and very active as vice president of FBS, which on this piece of paper, it's written in German, so I'll let him announce that for you. It's a Swiss nonprofit organization that is developing and coordinating various freedom movements and projects around Switzerland. Good morning, dear friend.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be with you and everybody else this morning. Great.
So it's good morning from here, and it's good afternoon over there, right?
It is. It's mid-afternoon, just past 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Did you go on a bike ride? Did you go on your bike ride this morning?
Not this morning. I didn't have time, but maybe later tonight.
Where Christian lives, he lives near Lake Geneva, right? And he goes on these, he's a real athlete. He's a superstar athlete. And he goes on these amazing long bike rides all around the bike, all around the lake and up into the mountains. I mean, he just lives like in a postcard. He just lives in a postcard. It's so beautiful there. So thank you for spending the time with me this morning to talk about some of the amazing things that you're doing and giving us a perspective of what's happening with COVID and all these other things from boots on the ground. From your side, you know, from your side of the pond, looking back. But before I do that, I just want you to pronounce this word for me because I can't say it. You're vice president of FBS. What is FBS?
It stands for Freiheitliche Bewegung Schweiz, and what it means is, you know, Freedom Movements Switzerland.
Wow.
And yeah. Very specific. I work together with a very close friend of mine, Richard Kohler. He's the president. And we met each other over the 5G activities, you know, like good a year ago. I had my nonprofit organization, Verein Wir, and we got to know each other. We really liked the platform he's built, especially the database, a lot of IT involved there. And so we recognized that if we join forces, we can actually bring more resources together and actually have more traction on the ground, like you've said before, you know, boots on the ground, because we have so many different organizations, not just here in Switzerland, but around the world, they're active. But, you know, it's hard to raise funds, significant funds. And without the funds, we also have limited resources, human resources. We can't just go out and hire top skillful people and then have these projects turned into a lot of traction. So we're dealing with a lot of freedom fighters, activists that have their heart in the right place, of course. And but sometimes we have maybe not all the skills that we really would require to, you know, measure up with our opponents. So Richard and I joined forces. And it's working out absolutely excellent. And it's allowed us to with that focus to have more traction with specific projects that maybe right now are not very much to be seen in the public, but we're developing things in the background that, especially over the next 6 months, will find a lot of traction. And so it really is a freedom movement in Switzerland. We focus on vaccination issues and all the measures. And we're dealing with 5G. We're also dealing with water and food supplies. Obviously, this is a very, very hot topic right now with the inflation starting to kick in. But there's other things that are developing. One of the other issues that we're trying to address most likely has to do with the monetary system. We may probably talk a little bit more in detail about this later on. So, but yeah, what is the landscape right now here in Switzerland? It's you said it's absolutely beautiful, and I tell you what, when I look outside the window, I sit on my bike and I go and do my little, around the lakes and up and down the mountains. You could not tell that there is a problem in this world. I mean, you look at nature and it forgives everything. It just look at, at this beauty that we have here in Switzerland, these mountains. A lot of people had, the chance to come visit us here. Maybe some of your viewers actually are living in Switzerland. So we have an absolute beautiful place, and yeah, we're destroying it. In the cities, we're destroying it in these buildings, we're destroying it in the government structures and stuff. But when you look out in nature, you go on top of a mountain, you couldn't tell, what's wrong with this place at all. And this gives me really the energy to continue on doing what we're doing. It allows me to get the energy and gives me the balance that we need to recharge our batteries and keep going, Sherry.
So for those of you, so we have a whole bunch more people that have been rolling in here as we've been talking. So this is my really good friend, Christian Osch, who lives in Switzerland in an unbelievably beautiful place. I've been blessed to be there, what, three times, maybe four times I've visited you and Becky over there. Was it
Three
twice? Oh,
times.
three times, three times.
Three times, and we're ready for your next visit. We got some really nice Bordeaux in here, and can't wait to pop some of those with you.
So we were talking a little bit yesterday about the signatures that you are collecting for the bill that you're trying to get passed. And he told me some interesting things about that. Unlike in the U.S. and probably Canada and a lot of other places, it's kind of a two-party system, and it's not like that at all in Switzerland. And so, tell us a little bit about the bill and what you're trying to get passed there. And do you think it'll get traction? And if you pass it in Switzerland, will it have any impact on the rest of the continent over there?
That's an excellent question. We started this off with a petition, and here in Switzerland, we probably talk a little bit more later. We still believe to be like one of the last, maybe the last place in on Earth that we really not still have a democracy. We believe so. We work on it. We just had the second voting elections going on. There's a voting about various initiatives and referendums and stuff just yesterday. Four times a year, we have the opportunity, we as the people have the opportunity to directly vote on new laws that the government is to implement, that or a referendum. Two of them we were just voting on. That one of them was the COVID law that they implemented last year, September 22nd, when they went off the pandemic. It was an epidemic laws that they have actually modified and manipulated for exactly the events that we're dealing with. They made it a lot easier to go off a recommendation from the World Health Organization and turn that in. And based on that, into the epidemic laws, that without actually meeting the core foundation of those requirements to actually call a pandemic. So in our epidemic laws, there's a step-by-step procedure that the government's supposed to follow And they didn't do that. They just went strictly off a non-elected body, such as the World Health Organization, and just like everybody else in the world, they tumbled over like a domino effect and just implemented the pandemic. Well, they circumvented the law and what it really means. And so there was a group of organizations, and we were part of that too in the background, that accumulated minimum of 50,000 signatures. And you need to do that once the government already implement a law or a change in law that is really having a negative effect for most people. A lot of people don't even know how it's really affecting them till it's too late. So there was a referendum, requires 50,000, and we, the people, have the opportunity to go get those signatures. So we run around and go door to door, and that doesn't sound like much. We have what, 8.6 million population in Switzerland? Yeah, it's not that many, but still, I tell you what, 50,000 signatures is not easy door to door. So they actually way overshot it. I mean, it was massive. Over 80,000 signatures came together. It was a clear sign, hey, there's a lot of people, they oppose this, what's going on. So they were able to get that done, that referendum. So we voted on two of them just yesterday, but too bad with the media and the government propaganda and everything, they dropped it. So the law they implemented last fall stays in place. So we couldn't remove that. And so there's other activities in the back that will probably follow and come through. So, but that's the one option we have. First is petition. It's very easy to do a petition. We can still petition the government. Normally, we use this more as a strategy to inform people, educate people about a subject matter. And then when we see a lot of people jump on the wagon, then you can actually make the next step and go for an initiative. And an initiative requires 100,000 minimum valid signatures. That means you probably have to accumulate 115 to 120,000 signatures to end up with 100,000, because there's always people that move. So people that move, die, whatever, they don't count anymore. So they get then, the signature has to be sent to the communes where these people are residing, and they have to be validated by the communes, by the administration, and they get turned back in. So it's a lot of work, and that's what we're doing right now. So FBS, where I'm the vice president of, together with Richard Koller, we are putting together a Stopp Impfpflicht. That means stop the vaccination, mandatory vaccination, so to say. We have in our law, in our constitution, that they cannot force you or make it mandatory. But with the new laws and how they have been, dealing and wheeling, we recognize that they will do anything to compromise that, most likely, if not the federal government, the state governments. So the main federal government will probably put the kibosh on the cantons, and the cantons have to then do a mandatory vaccination. And so what we have done is we saw that ahead. So we did a petition, and we saw that in a really, really short time period, we had over 60,000 signatures. Just the petition doesn't require any, a whole bunch of signature actually. So we, in one day, we did over 10,000 signatures. So we recognize we're on the right track here. So we went right through with initiative, and we launched that last December, 1st of December. And right now we're close to like 65 to 70,000 signatures. So we're below where we need to be, but we still have till next June to actually accumulate all signatures that are required.
That's a
We
long
believe,
time.
yeah, we have 18 months for 100,000 signatures. So we believe that we can actually do it by this fall, and then we can put it in. So as soon as you have 100,000 valid signatures, we can put it into the government. It goes into the process. It's quite a process to go through. And then it goes through the parliament, and then they check for, if it's a valid initiative, if it will be in conflict of certain things. And then once it's okay, it goes in front of the people. So it takes a few years to actually from A through Z to get it all done.
Wow.
But we are using, Sherry, we're using this process right now, this time, to educate people about the law, about their rights, And right now, what we have recognized is that you saw the the vaccination passes. You saw all these different things that you can no longer go into a store without the vaccine passport or all this crazy stuff. So in our initiative, we're modifying, at least we're trying to modify our constitution. So we change language, we add some things in there that they cannot refuse us, like a job or public transportation or shopping and stuff, that all these civil things that we benefit of is having that. When we lose that, it becomes extremely tough. So in other words, if you don't get vaccinated with the jab you're talking about, Sherry, you're going to lose your job. So companies will have a chance to determine if you're going to stay with them or if they're going to fire you, terminate your employment if you're not vaccinated.
So
So we're
is that already passed in Switzerland, or that's what you're trying? What's the status right now of that in Switzerland? Can they require you to get the shot to keep your job?
Right now, they're leaving it up to the businesses. So a business can decide if they even serve you, if you're in the service industry, a restaurant, if they let you in with RNM pass, immunization or vaccine passport. So they really are slick, okay? They're not actually doing it. They know it's against the law, against the constitution to do it, but they are putting it now on commerce. In other words, the business owners. And the business owners right now, they're still like praying to get refunds. In other words, getting money from the government for the lockdown, for participating in the lockdown. So they're supposed to be getting money from the government. So they're playing nice to each other. So it's all money driven, most likely. So big companies, especially also US companies that are here doing business in Switzerland, were some of the first ones that also participated in the lockdown, participated with the mask only. All this discrimination is exactly what we're going against with our initiative. We don't want this to happen in Switzerland, and we're fighting like crazy, and the people are really getting behind it and pushing forward. And I think it's a really, really good thing that we're doing right now. The timing is absolutely perfect. And Richard Collard, the president, my colleague in this, had the foresight to start this petition really, really early last year, and then we moved it right into an initiative when I joined forces with him.
So, what's the status in all of Europe right now? It's my understanding that, and maybe I'm wrong, that you can't, if you're in the US, you can't fly into anywhere in Europe unless you agree for a 2-week quarantine when you arrive, and you have to go there because have a first degree family member that either needs you or is sick or something, or you get a letter from a business that says that you're an essential worker, that you can't do your job by the internet, that you can't do it by Zoom or whatever, that you actually have to physically be there. Is that true? Is that true over all of Europe, that the tourism industry there is essentially dead, that you can't come into Europe unless you get quarantined or unless you're an essential worker? Is that true?
Yeah, I think you're pretty close. It's really hard to stay on top of everything that's going on. Just
Sure.
the EU and the EU Parliament alone to keep track of those folks over there is a whole job on its own. I just know here in Switzerland, in most cases, it's a little bit different but similar. So what they do, they require the PCR test, even knowing, okay, that this test is absolutely worthless for most parts, really. I mean, even the creator, we all know, we have all this evidence that there's not a single study that actually shows a benefit. And
Right.
the Ioannidis study also showed that the whole measures around the whole thing is actually not working at all. So coming back to your question is yes. I mean, it's extremely hard to travel right now. I think Spain just announced or maybe already implemented that without a vaccine passport, it won't let you in. So I'm not sure if that's already actually active right now. I heard it just over the weekend in the news that Spain was the first one to say, without the jab, you're not traveling to Spain. So if I want to go to the beach in Spain this summer, I may have quite a problem to get in there right now.
You know, it's so, you know, I've traveled in a lot, as you know. I mean, I've been
yep.
blessed to have been in almost 70 countries. I've been in all 50 states, and it just breaks in my heart. You know, the last I was in Europe was in fall of 2019. And I just think about in all of the places that I've been, and I've seen Europe, some by bus, it's like by train, plane, and automobile. You know, I've been a lot of places. I've been on bus tours. And I think about all these little tiny towns that are in every country across Europe that are so dependent on tourism, on the seasonal tourism. And I've never thought so much in my entire life about supply chain as I have since this stopped down. You know, like these little towns that, you know, the tour buses come in, and it doesn't matter what country, but these tour buses come in to these places, and they have their supply chain of the people that provide food and the hotels that provide soap and shampoo and the little stores that provide all the little tchotchkes and little things that the carvings and things that people make. And then the carving people depend on the people who cut down the trees and process the wood and depend on the people who provide the paint and all of these things that come together to make your little collectible that are in this little town that depends on these buses showing up and 40 people a day getting off the bus and buying jewelry or food or whatever it is, and how that has just been decimated, just absolutely decimated. I think about, you know, the last trip that I was on was actually through the Balkan countries and went to Macedonia. Yep. And Macedonia, oh, what a beautiful country. And sadly, in those countries in there, the Balkan countries, Macedonia is landlocked. And so a lot of the other countries like Croatia, Bosnia, Greece, Montenegro, they're all our water countries. So they were getting a lot more. Their economy was coming back because of tourism and the cruise ships and people going there on their beaches. Now that's all gone. And Macedonia, which was like the poorest of all of them there, but just absolutely stunningly beautiful, you know, they were barely hanging on by a thread. You know, they were getting something like, I remember talking to this waiter in this one restaurant I was in, and they were getting paid somewhere like 50 euros a month. I mean, it was like nothing, you know, and they were dependent on tips from the people that came on the tour buses to whatever. So then people can't afford their housings, they can't afford food. I mean, unbelievable that, you know, when you take a step back and you look at what these monsters have done mm-hmm. to the world in exchange for the whole purpose for all of that, it was getting people so down and so discouraged, they were willing to be injected by these genetic modification technologies that will permanently and irreversibly change your genetics and kill, I don't know, 2/3 of the world population by this fall. I mean, do you, you know, I get so dismal sometimes when I talk about it, because I don't see me coming back to Europe anytime soon, and it makes me really sad. And I don't even see me traveling in the US anymore if they get to the place where they require a shot to get on an airplane. I mean, is this our only way out, Christian? I mean, you live in the backyard of all of the most nefarious characters on the planet. I mean, the UN, the World Health Organization, the World Bank, I mean, the Bank of International Settlements. I mean, they all are like driving distance of your house. I mean, all of them. CERN is right up the street. You know, I mean, all of this stuff. So you're kind of like in the middle of the snake pit. And it seems as though the only way out that they have designed, the only exit door, is to go and get these shots. I mean, do you think that all this energy and things that you're putting into these signatures and these referendums, and, you know, we see pictures of Germany and the UK where there's hundreds of thousands of people marching in the street. Well, they don't do any of that stuff in America. And yet it seems like it's not making any progress. Or is it? Is it just something that we don't see from over here, but you can see from actually being there?
That is one loaded question, Cherry. I got to say that.
Well, that's the conversations we have, right? It's the conversations we talk about.
Yes, yes. You know, it's great to be with you this morning, I have to say. And I tell you what, thank God, actually, we have technology that we can do this, what we're doing right now. I go back now, really, before I go into the business and the strategy and stuff, maybe my family, I share with you exactly what you share. My son got married in the United States last fall. I could not participate. I had to actually participate over Zoom. That's how it's affected my family as well. So firsthand, I have experienced what you're speaking about, but we here in Switzerland have such an amazing social system, security, insurances, all this crazy stuff. There is a lot of wealth here, and we probably can hang on a little bit longer than most other people in other nations. You shared, countries in the Balkan, area and stuff like that. Some of those, I'm sure they're in terrible shape, and you don't hear anything because the media censors all the stuff out where there's real destruction, real pain and harm being caused by what's going on with this New World Order agenda. We don't even hear. We're even as connected as we are, we do depend a lot of the stuff and local journalism and all that stuff is getting censored and screened out, and that don't make it. So we have to continue our job, Sherry, just like what you're doing in the United States, we're trying to do here, probably not at the same level scale, but it doesn't matter. We need to continue connecting and sharing because our side of the equation, the alternative media, is gaining like crazy. I know journalists, I know people that own platforms, alternative news, they're going absolutely wild. They don't even have time to take a vacation. They work through the weekend just like you do as well. And it's just going bonkers because someone has to do it. And I hope more and more people will recognize that even rich people, they're sitting on hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars. And they're seeing this whole roof crashing in on us, and they don't know what to do. I tell you what, and I tell anyone that knows you, Sherry, any sponsor, donate, put the money to the people that know how to deal with this fiasco worldwide. Don't try to hang on, and especially don't leave it in the bank because I see a major, major banking crash coming down the pipe real, real soon. And before that, most likely, just like what they have announced through the WEF, the World Economic Forum, our friend, friend Klaus Schwab, that we're going to be dealing with a cyber polygon. This is all just like what happened with Event 201. They're practicing an internet shutdown worldwide, whatever they will use, a hacker attack, whatever it is. So we can no longer communicate and do exactly what we're doing right now, exchanging information and active response of what's going on the ground. And that is extremely crucial for us. So here in Switzerland, we are now building in the background already models, strategies to come back to regional and local supply chains. Okay, we have to recognize that our supply chains worldwide are broken. A lot of that we have to go back quite a few years, Bill Clinton administration, selling our technology from the United States to the Chinese, going over there, starting joint ventures, and bringing the United States and manufacturing plants to China, helping them build up this massive cash flow they have that could buy up everybody in the world. So we help with this destruction. And right now, we have to prepare our people for what really is coming. And I believe this fall, this is just what we are discussing in our strategy sessions. It could be well possible, and we see it right now. They are not getting the amount of people the jab to that they would like to see. So people are refusing, they're waiting, they're not running to get that jab, okay? So I think it will be very easy for us to identify the vaccinated versus the non-vaccinated people by this fall when the next event happens. So let's just say if the vaccinated really do have these issues that you have identified really well, in your what do you say, the action of injury, action of what do you call your thing process with the effects of the vaccine? Anyway.
The adverse events.
Yes, exactly. Also, I mean, so anyway, the adverse events of the vaccination, okay, that we see that when they really should have major health effects, and a lot of them will die, and there is a lot of the people that have refused to get immunized, vaccinated, it will be really easy for us to see that the non-vaxxed people are much, much better off. They cannot let this happen. They can't go out to the world and identify so easily. Like, here we have all these huge groups of people that we didn't get to vaccinate yet, but only the vaccinated people are dying off really hardcore set. So then they would have to think, I have to think, then the cyber attacks will happen, so we lose our internet. So the mass media, like we have in Switzerland too, we have government sponsored, okay, mandatory fees that we pay. Every household pays like $350. So we have state-sponsored news in our TVs, radio, and newspaper. Only those will be able to broadcast their side of the equation. So alternative news will be turned off because we can no longer communicate over the internet, maybe as freely as we're doing it right now. So I think your listeners, be aware, and I'm just saying we're working on the self-preparedness for exactly that. And I tell you what, make sure you're stocked up on food supplies, not to be in fear, but get stocked up now while you still can. And it's going to get a lot more expensive, I think, in the next 6 months to get that done.
I was just reading an article this morning that it said the whole world is in shortage of everything. And it listed, because of this whole supply chain disruption, it listed like you can't name an industry or you can't really even name a product, you know, that doesn't have something that's like automobile. It said it went through like list of foods and then it went through list of like plastic related things and then like the circuit boards inside of cars, you know, all these different things. And so, you know, there's it's one thing to, and I want to say this, then I want to change directions here just a little bit. There, it's one thing to live in fear. It's another thing to live responsibly. And just because, you know, it's sort of like plan for the worst and hope for the best, have food, water, shelter, batteries, I mean, various things that you need, toilet paper, get lots of toilet paper, you know. Used to be funny when Kevin was still alive and he was such a prepper. And I used to say, you know what? If the world goes to hell in a handbasket and I can't have my curling iron, my computer, and toilet paper, forget it. I don't want to be here. But I want to change directions a little bit because you've been so involved with the 5G movement over there. In fact, you ran for public office, was it 2 years ago now, 3 years ago, on that platform? And you've always been my go-to guy about 5G. And you were the person who said, well, Sherry, it's not about 5G, it's about 6G. And sort of introduced that, and it was like eye-opening to me. So we've got about 15 minutes or so left here on this portion of our conversation. Can you talk to our people here a little bit about what's happening with 5G and the scary part about 6G?
Yes, I'll tell you what, I want to start with some positive things right there. It is a technology that obviously is derived from the military. And in most cases, technology that we use in commerce is technology many times used if it's in NASA or if it's in the military somewhere. Then once they have the next generation technologies implemented and in use, they take the old technologies and they commercialize it and they make billions through the stock market. So we as the economy are always second, third, fourth, whatever. So 5G is just another product that's outdated to some level at the military level, but don't be fooled. I mean, 5G is definitely also going to be used for precision technologies in the military applications. So when you have rocket launchers and all these different things, they will use certain technologies from that fifth generation. 5G is fifth generation. And then, as I already shared with you, actually a few years ago, this started already in 6G. So 6G is over. It's just a massive band. It's 5G is between 3.5 and 100. I have just a brain fart here right now. So anyway, this has to do with the frequency bands, okay? And that hurts, okay?
Hurts, yeah.
And so the problem we have right now is that it's really between a race to the United States and China is leading that race with 5G, Okay, so China can move on much, much faster than we are, so to say, especially in Switzerland. We're always technologically advanced here. And now the government, the industry, especially the media supports all this, is that we're running after the Chinese, that they're really a far advanced in the 5G technology. You know why, Sherry? You know why they can just steamroll ahead like crazy? They don't have a constitution. They don't have any human rights. They don't have any possibility for referendum and petition the government and initiatives. They just can go ahead and build whatever they want to build. If they lose a few hundred, million people, they don't care. And so we, as the Western world, trying to catch up with the Chinese. I tell you what, I had a meeting last fall. I was the 22nd of September with one of the, actually it's the largest party in Switzerland, and they we were having discussion and stuff, and I asked the questions, do you guys even know what's going on? We have three main providers in Switzerland: Swisscom, Salt, Sunrise. Salt, Sunrise already have sold every single antenna that they own and operate to Cellnex in Spain, and then the Chinese are operating this out of Bucharest in Romania. So the warning actually is the tech support and everything gets done with the Chinese out of Romania. So if you have an issue with an antenna that's sucking up data from a military base here in Switzerland, it goes straight to the Chinese. You should have seen these eyes, and I dropped the whole dossier in front of this guy and says, you guys, and he's part of the security commission in the parliament. And he had no idea. It's like, you guys, I mean, you politicians, really, you sign stuff, you put things into law, and you have absolutely no clue what you're doing and supporting. So 5G really is just a shortwave communication. It's a whole new technology. Obviously, it's much faster. You can send data packages much, much faster over the airlines, over the air,
Airwaves.
over the airwaves, excuse me. And the problem is it's a pulse frequency, and it has so many negative effects of our biological system of a human, but not just human, it's animals and nature as well. So we are going absolutely bonkers. And you when we speak 5G, we really have to be aware and understand that 5G is pretty broad, right? It goes in, obviously the technical part are pretty substantial, okay? To understand how these antennas work, the adaptive antenna, how they work, and how this all is so many steps up from 4G. So we have 2G, 3G, 4G, and now the fifth generation. So that aspect alone is pretty intense. But then we have the laws, okay? We have certain laws and rules and regulations in place that actually were supposed to protect us from that. Plus, we have all the health issues. So we have organizations in place that are supposed to protect us. And all that stuff is being circumvented. They're circumventing the laws, they're circumventing the health studies, and they are circumventing core basics to how we're dealing with these new technologies. I mean, it's very, very clear that the lobby from the industry has a stronghold in our government, because the government people, if these are consultants, if they are, making a career there and telling them, I've dealt with them, they are completely over their head with this technology. They do not understand the whole concept of 5G, how that is really how big that issue really is for us humans. Everyone is in a technological, mindset right now. Technology is great. Technology is required to keep our commerce going and economy and all that stuff. But how much negative effect that's having? Very few politicians are taking the time to actually read into the subject matter, understand the problems, and actually do something about it. Very, very few. So yes, I got involved. We did a petition in spring 19. There was almost 40,000 signatures that recognized, that gave me an idea. It's like, wow, 5G, we got to do something about 5G, because that's a very, very small window of opportunity for us to hit this thing hard and heavy. And then, as you shared, I did participate in the national elections as a candidate for the Nationalrat. And it didn't work for me, but our signatures that we got, our small group, we weren't even a party. We're a small group that were linked with one of the parties. It's like 24 parties at that time. So one of the EDU we were connected with, and they got a seat as a representative in there extra after 8 years not being represented. So it was absolutely a success. So we continued forward. And then in January 2020, last year, I coordinated with Reza together a scientific opinion with Dr. Leonard Hardale, actually Professor Leonard Hardale, very famous worldwide as an oncologist, specialized in brain tumors and stuff. And he helped us draft this scientific opinion. We sent that to the government at all levels. I made sure everything was certified mail, everybody got served. And you should see the response. It was just laughable. And this was co-signed by 22 different world-renowned scientists. And it didn't do anything really, but it's been spread around the world. A lot of people have used that scientific opinion to write better, documentation in court procedures and all that. So we are having a very positive effect here in Switzerland. We maybe can't stop it, but we have absolutely slowed it down. We have exactly around 19,000 to 20,000 antenna locations. And each location, when this is the antenna, we have right now at least three antennas on each location. So it's
Wow.
almost 60,000 antennas. They're beaming only 120 degrees, and the adaptive antenna will actually, do its thing. It's really a massive step up. So we have had an opportunity to slow down the whole process of rolling out this technology here. In the meantime, a lot more people became aware of and helping, speaking out. And we have over 2,000 locations right now, antennas, new antennas, in a moratorium. So in other words, it's blocked from being built, and they
Wow.
have to go through various procedures. So we're having a major effect here in Switzerland. In the meantime, we have two courts in Canton Bern and in Zurich that were taking our side of the equation the first time and said the 5G antennas, we can't measure those the same as 4G like the government anticipates, because it just doesn't work. The 5G technology is so fast. They still don't have any devices that can measure the actual radiation values because the technology is so fast. There's no measuring equipment or device that can actually swing in so fast to measure the peak of the high performance of that. And so we have really hammered these guys, and we're actually having an effect. And the best part of all, Sherry, I have to say, is Bernice. Bernice is the Bundesrat, in other words, the government's own consulting body about the non-ionizing radiation protection. So two new members of that body, the whole body had the responsibility to come up with a study. So the two doctors in there went through a minimum 150 studies and produced the summary, very famous summary right now. It's shared all over Switzerland, the whole world, of course, that they have found that we have oxidative stress effects, and it's absolutely validated to have a biological effect, not just thermal effects. Because right now, the ionizing protection, radiation protect, ICNIRP, that organization out of Germany, they have always only considered thermal effects. Okay, so heating, overheating our body, and that's just being shredded. And right now, we have that new study that came out, that summary. And it's allowing us to really open a lot of new doors.
You know, what's so interesting about that, Christian, is you think about all of the metals that have been injected into people. I mean, between the aluminum and vaccines, the mercury and vaccines, the cadmium that gets into your body from cigarette smoke and from pollution. And now they're injecting these genetic modification technologies. And we have just found out this whole concept of magnotransfection. And I spent a long time in the last 2 days. In fact, that's what I was mostly working on. I'm about halfway through a 500-page textbook reading about magnetotransfection and how they have used these little magnetic particles. I mean, what we think they're injecting is messenger RNA. That may be part of it. But what they're really injecting is these little magnetic particles inside of these lipoid sort of capsules that are going into our bodies. And the reason that they put them in the lipid capsules is so that because the lipid that they put these little magnetic pieces of metal in, when they put it inside the lipid, it prevents them from binding to the cells. So it keeps it in blood circulation much longer. And so that's why when they put the shot in your arm and then they find out 12 to 48 hours later, you have a high concentration in ovaries, a high concentration in spleen, a concentration in the brain, when they really thought that at least for 48 hours, it would stay in the muscle. Well, it doesn't. And now that magnetotransfection thing is on all of our cells of our body, and we're not getting rid of it. And so now we're being exposed to the 5G. And this is where the mainstream media took me to lunch last week, because I was standing in front of the Ohio legislature, and I was talking about this. And I said, you know, it's all kind of conjecture at this point, but when you put all the dominoes in a row, it all adds up. And one of the things I was looking for while you were talking there was that I did an interview with Renate Stahlhofer. And I don't know if you know her. If you don't, you should be connected to her. She's from out of Australia. They have an organization there called We Are Not Sam. WeAreNotSam.com. And when I asked her, I said, well, who or what is Sam? And Sam is a dummy that's been used by the telecommunications industry to safety test radiation from mobile phones. And all they do is it's a plastic bubble with water in it. And they take the mobile phone and put it up to the head of this plastic dummy they call Sam. And if it doesn't heat the water up more than 1 degree centigrade over 6 minutes, they say the cell phone is safe. They have over 2,000 studies that have been published showing biological harm from cell phone radiations, EMFs, and 5G. She's in Australia. And for you guys who haven't listened to that interview, if you just go to the tenpennyfiles.podbean.com, and somebody may want to put this in the chat for me, go to tenpennyfiles.podbean.com. And if you put Renate in this chat, and her first name is R-I-N-A-T, Renate, you'll come right to the interview that I did with her the end of April. It was extremely good. We also did a deep dive interview for her that went into even more detail for those of you who are part of our premium membership, that you should go out and listen to that, because it just couples on the back of everything that Christian is saying. And one of the things that she provides, and it's in the notes from that interview, is that a download, it's a free strategy kit that you can use to fight 5G locations in every country around the world. And so, Christian, if you're not familiar with that, you should button up with her. And that kit might be really important for something that you could translate into Swiss and into German for what they've been using around the world. So that's one of the benefits I get to have, is I get to be the connector. I get to connect people up. But if I think you guys listened to, there's a lot of you heard that, it's R-A-N-A-T, R-I-N-A-T, R-I-N-A-T, Stahlhofer is her last name. Fighting 5G is about boots on the ground in action, and that's what they're about. So I'd encourage, if Christian, if you're not, and she's in Australia, if you're not connected with her, you probably should be. And for those of you guys who haven't listened to that interview and listened to the deep dive interview, you'll really like it. So unfortunately, we could go on like this for hours, and people are loving it. By looking at the comments, they're really enjoying everything that you said. So this is my friend Christian Osch. He literally boots on the ground in Switzerland, been talking to me here, and we're going to have to wind this up because Instagram cuts us off at exactly an hour. And so we're coming up to the top of that time, and then we're going to hop over and do another interview on some other topics for our deep dive for our premium members. So our premium membership, you can get through drtenpenny.com too. So in the last like 2 minutes or so, Christian, how can people get in contact with you? Because when we got on here this morning, there were a lot of people that connect with us through Germany. There's a lot of people in the UK. And so there's a lot of different ways. How can people find you and be connected with what you're doing?
I sent you the little bio part, and there's three websites on there, and either one of those will work to contact me personally.
And I'll put
So,
that in the notes when we're done with this. Do they do
yes.
still, is your LinkedIn page still active?
Yes, the new one. My I'm one of those victims. The one that I had for years with almost 2,500 contacts that got closed down. I did too many posts similar to stuff that you're doing. So now I'm back up to about that 440 contacts. But yes, that LinkedIn, I can be found on LinkedIn, Christian Osh, and I can send that over as well. So you can add it into your information, contact information part. No problem.
That's awesome. So thank you so much, Christian. I look forward to continuing this in just a few minutes when we do our deep dive. So I want to just close out here this morning. So I'm grateful and honored that you've done that and so many great comments. People were really interested in what you had to say. So now you can find all the links and they'll be in all the notes. It'll be up on Podbean probably in a day or two. We've got a lot of things that were post that I didn't get posted last week that you'll see this week. So you'll get it up there in a couple of days. You'll see how to join there. And when you're on the Dr. Tenpenny homepage, please be sure to sign up for our email list and sign up for our upcoming webinar, which is on July the 10th. It's a repeat of the 20 mechanisms of injury, how these shots can make you sick and probably kill you. Only it's expanded. We'll have more information for those of you that did it before. So on every one of my live broadcasts, I always close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible, which is Romans 12, 12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until we meet the next time, trust God in everything. He'll never let you down. Thanks, you guys, for being here this morning. Christian, I'll see you in
Amen.
a few minutes. And thanks, you guys. We'll see you next week. Love you all. Take care. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye-bye. Thank you.